It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
Oh yeah, Mrs. Robinson. There's a reason we're playing this. I don't know what it is. Dean Tarianis is one of them. He said, hey, you know, you need to play Mrs. Robinson. It has a connection here. I don't know what the connection is. Dean Tarianis, ladies and gentlemen, is the resident historian for Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour for our Saturday morning radio extravaganza. He was, for many years, web producer with Rush Limbaugh. He is also a distinguished author in his own right, not just history, but cooking. And on top of that, he has a great website called historyauthor.com. Dean Tarianis, welcome. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I never feel taller than when I've listened to your introduction, so thank you. Very kind of you and kind of you. That was nice. And you took my bumper music suggestion. We cannot stop producing from the Rush days, so I appreciate you taking it.
Why did I play it? What's up with Mrs. Robinson?
Well, the original name was not Mrs. Robinson. It was Mrs. Roosevelt. And it was kind of a placeholder name that they had. Yeah. And if you listen to the lyrics, right, they say the candidates debate. I guess it was a little bit in their head. And they hadn't even written the words for that do part. And it was just on the drawing board. And they had gone to Simon and Garfunkel and said, hey, we want you guys to write some songs for this movie. And what do you have? And at some point they said, hey, we have this song called Mrs. Roosevelt. And then they said, it's called Mrs. Robinson. It can be any three-letter name. And they said, wait a minute, you have a song called Mrs. Robinson when we're hectoring you to write this? Let's get this out there, push it out. Let's use that. And it became this iconic song identified with the movie. But originally it was about Eleanor Roosevelt, namely FDR's wife and also Theodore Roosevelt's niece. So they were related.
And also Franklin Roosevelt's cousin. Let's not forget the incest. I mean, let's not forget the family ties here.
Fifth cousin, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, so distant cousin. But he married his cousin.
They had the idea that he might marry Alice Roosevelt, Princess Alice, who was had really no interest in what a compelling character she is, Theodore Roosevelt's first child with his first wife before she passed away. So, yeah, there was a lot. And as Theodore Roosevelt said to Franklin Roosevelt on the day of his wedding, he said, well, that's one way to keep the name in the family.
Boom. All right, now, you have an article today, a column, in the New York Sun. As the Kennedy family swings behind Biden against RFK Jr., the Roosevelts offer something to which to aspire. What are you talking about here? What do the Roosevelts have that perhaps Democrats, well, need to look to aspire to?
Well, the family was split into these two branches. One, Oyster Bay, Long Island, which was Theodore Roosevelt's home, Sagamore Hill, that he built for that first wife. And then eventually FDR comes and he says, I want to run as a Democrat. And Theodore Roosevelt says, oh, okay, at the time. I won't campaign there. And good luck to you getting into politics. And by the way, you should have suited up in the First World War, but didn't. So that bugged them a little. But they very much, I guess you'd say, one of those relationships where FDR looked up to him and he was paving the way. And then Theodore Roosevelt passes away in 1919, and the race is on. Everyone thinks that Theodore Roosevelt Jr., who is a Republican like his father, will be the one to carry on the Rough Riders mantle. And FDR, as a Democrat, decides, no, he wants to be able to get in the big chair. And they both do this amazing following of Theodore Roosevelt's path. They do everything but go to Cuba and start charging up hills. They serve in the assembly in Albany. They serve as assistant secretaries of the Navy. Then they want to run for governorship. And that's when they really come into a clash, because that's when FDR's wife, Eleanor, decides that, well, we've got to do something to get this Ted Jr. out of the way. And really, FDR and Eleanor, those Roosevelts, they really steal Ted's birthright. But despite that, this is something that's happening right now with the Kennedys. Who is the real heir to RFK, to JFK, to even Ted Kennedy, the way that they see the Kennedy name? And this is what happens there, where they really come in and they try to steal it. But the hopeful part is that they manage to, when World War II comes, they manage to come back together. And eventually that is healed, this schism between the Oyster Bay Republican Roosevelt and the Hyde Park Democratic Roosevelt up on the Hudson River.
So what you're advocating for is for a return to the Kennedy family where they can heal the wounds and become one again.
Well, it's up to them what they do, but I just I think, you know, a few drinks, probably if they have a few drinks. But, you know, I look at it this way. I was thinking before we spoke, and I said, you know, people are going to disagree, right? Even friends, even coworkers, like you and I, if I put up any giant stuff in the office back in the day, you would come in and roll your eyes and give me a hard time about Eli Manning. And I said, this is, you have to find some common ground, right? So I don't look at you as a Cowboys fan as much as I look at you as somebody who hates the Eagle. And then if I see you as someone who hates the Eagle, then we can have a common ground. You know, I've heard many people go to AT&T Stadium down there. Not one of them's ever ducked out of the way of a D-cell battery or any of those things. So you say, okay, well, we can both agree that the Eagles should never again be anywhere near the Super Bowl. So,
well, Robert Kennedy Jr. today said, look, I love my family, and despite all of these differences, I still love my family, and I believe they love me. Hard to tell, because some of the Kennedys are really, and now the environmentalists have turned on him. The ones he used to work for, bunch of them have gotten together and wrote a very caustic ad about Robert Kennedy Jr., but he's maintaining civility, and he's just saying, look, you know, the same thing, people have differences, but you still love them anyway. So,
especially for the Kennedys, because that was, we're not talking fifth cousins here. We're talking his two sisters and brother come out and endorse Biden and say he should drop out. So that's pretty close. And for the Kennedys that were always family above everything, you know, we all know the scandals that they've had and the wrongdoing where the family just closed ranks around them. And they didn't throw Ted, I'm getting stuck on Ted's here, but Teddy Kennedy. They didn't throw him under the bus when he drove off the bridge in Chappaquiddick, or she drove off without him, or he was drunk. It was clearly they closed the ranks around him, and it was Kennedys over everybody.
This goes back to what Rush used to say about modern day liberalism, Dean. Liberals put liberalism first above everything else. And we are watching that play out in the Kennedy family, where, at least for those attacking him, their liberal ideological stance is even more powerful than the Kennedy blood. And that's what we're witnessing right now.
Isn't it strange, though, that they think somehow Biden is more liberal than Kennedy? Are they just that, or than RFK? Are they just that disdainful of the possibility, I guess, of Trump getting in? But usually what would happen, especially with Biden is very easy to push to the left. He would knock down a wall to go farther. He's done everything he can to try to give people that are in the left, really the fringe originally of his party, exactly what they want. And so I would think that they would look at him. Maybe they didn't even look at him that way in the primary, as somebody who would advance their goals. They just want him out, as his brother, the former congressman, said, even if you take one vote away from Biden, that's too many. Like, you don't own votes. That's something that always grates on me. It's something that Ralph Nader, of all people, said in the 2000 race. He said, what do you mean take votes away from Gore? He doesn't own the votes. Why do we even have elections if people are going to say that they own votes? It's up to you to go out and earn them. And I think Biden would do that. He'd gladly give away the sword to the left of his base and ace out Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I think that's weird that they would do this.
Well, he is giving away the store. I'm going to leave it with this. Look what he just did with Israel. Biden and the Democrats are actually thinking about putting sanctions on Israel's military. This is Twilight Zone stuff. Hey, Dean, we got to go. I got to check in with Lou Dobbs, and I got to grab some phone calls. Always, always, my friend, a pleasure. And the column is in the New York Sun. Dean is, I don't want to downplay anyone else there, because they've got a bunch of great writers there, including Conrad Black, who I love. But I got to tell you, Dean is the star writer, folks. And Dean, you're just a remarkable historian. Thank you, my friend, for always coming through.
Thank you very much. NYSun.com, go blow them up, everybody.
Boom.